This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next up, it's a Plains FM feature interview, keeping you in touch with the people and events happening in our Canterbury community.
What matters most to Christchurch and Banks Peninsula residents about our city is the focus of a new campaign by the Christchurch City Council. Welcome to this feature interview. I'm Nikki Rees. Joining me to discuss the campaign and explain how you can have your say are Tessa and Swantia. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Nikki.
Could you please introduce yourselves and tell us your role in your unit at the council, Tessa, starting with you?
Absolutely. So my name's Tessa Zandt, and I lead the engagement team for Christchurch City Council.
And I'm Svante Bubritsky. I'm one of Tessa's staff in the engagement team. I'm one of two senior advisors in the team.
So the two of you have been very involved in this new campaign and getting it out to the public, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and how people can actually get involved. So first off, I think just to start at the very beginning, what is the long-term plan?
So the long-term plan is a 10-year plan that we review every 3 years, and we're reviewing it this year. And it sets out all of the things that we're going to do for the city over the next 10 years. So it's setting out what we're going to build, what services we're going to provide, and of course, importantly, how we're going to pay for it.
So that might be through rates or dividends that we get through our holding companies, and also things like fees and charges. So when you go to the swimming pool, for example, how much you get charged to go for a swim.
Right. So that's the long-term plan. What are some of the challenges and issues that we might be facing over the next 10 years? What has been highlighted through this process for you, do you think?
Well, we are still quite early in the process, but we are starting this early in order to be able to navigate those challenges a bit better. Because the next long-term plan, you know, just like every household at the moment faces the issue of having to reconsider their budget and seeing how we can best look after ourselves, and in our case, our city, when times are getting a bit tight, at the same time needing to prepare for those big future challenges that we're all aware of and that are very much on our doorstep. So we have to have a real close look at what's really the most important things and what matters most to everyone in the city to be able to make those decisions and get them.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we can only up rates so much. Everyone's feeling the pain at the moment. We're well aware of that. So we're not going to be able to do everything that we have done previously. It's a tough conversation about what are our priorities.
It sure is. It's a big conversation too. It's not just one thing that you're having to cover. It's many across the city and across Banks Peninsula. Big work, but very important work and necessary for us as citizens to get involved.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that I loved about this was the phrase nice-to-haves and must-haves. I thought that was a really key kind of easy-to-understand concept.
Yep.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, we feel the tension of this probably in a lot of our consultation work, actually. Anytime we go and talk to the community, people talk very much from their own perspective. So we all have our own worldview and we all have a view on what we consider to be essential. Mm-hmm. So when we start talking about nice-to-haves and must-haves, we're really asking people to have a really good think about what do they consider to be our essential services. And then we're also asking them to look at what other people have said and understand where their view sits within the wider city and Banks Peninsula view.
I guess the underlying premise of that is, you know, my must-haves might be Tessa's nice-to-haves.
That's right,
And that can apply, you know, across different neighbourhoods, across different parts of our communities, or not.
Yeah.
We really want to understand that and see, are there commonalities? Are there some of our core services where everyone goes like, no, this is absolutely essential, you cannot compromise on that? Or are there other things that are really standing out and are really important to one community or one part of our city and not so much to others? And then how do we bring that into balance.
Yeah, I think a really good way to explain that tension is when you start looking at those future-focused projects, so maybe around climate change and climate resilience. For some people, that's still not in their must-haves. But when you start talking to the younger generation or people who live in particular areas, I think that becomes a very, very hot topic.
Unless you open your door and look out on the street and see climate change happening, it's not going to be a priority, is it?
And that is starting to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Let's look through the categories. Could we just go through what it is that you're going to be getting people to focus on?
Absolutely. Now, we did our best. We call these core services at Council. We've got quite a few more of them, but we've managed to whittle it down to 17, and we understand there's probably still a few too many, but it really shows a breadth of what Council actually does, and it was a real challenge just to get it down to 17. So, yeah, we tried to keep the language simple, didn't we, Sancha, if you want to run through some of those?
Yeah, so there's a multitude of things here, and not going in any particular order because that differs really for different people, but we have things like community spaces, so that's talking about the network of facilities that bring communities together. So it might be a community centre. We have a network of 80 different community facilities and spaces that we support as a council. Then it's things like recreation and sport. So hopefully many people are familiar with our recreation and sport centres, you know, getting into swimming or to the gym. But then we also move into areas like drinking water and stormwater and drainage, wastewater. So we sometimes call those the three waters, which are really essential to keep our city running. We need to provide safe drinking water. We need to ensure that our stormwater and drainage system, so you know, when it's raining, all the water coming down, has a way to channel away safely. And likewise, we need to be able to treat our wastewater. So any wastewater we produce in our houses, you know, in our businesses, and to keep those separated. Tessa, do you want to take over with a few more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a citizen of Christchurch, there are things that, you know, you want your city to have to be a nice, vibrant city. So we've got events in there. Some of our major events like the fireworks display out in New Brighton, community development, those are those smaller community, maybe they fund markets, things like that. We've got our libraries. And also things like the promotion of Otatahi Christchurch, which is something people probably don't realise Council does, but a lot of money goes into celebrating our city to people who might want to move here or come here on holiday. So that's a really kind of good, and of course we have climate change actually, I should mention that as well. That's very much at the forefront of Council thinking at the moment.
Then a few others to cover, which hopefully many people get to enjoy, but you might not always realise the role that Council plays, for instance, our parks and gardens. And we're not just talking about the botanic gardens, but also the sport fields across the city, our playgrounds and other smaller community and regional parks. So we look after those. We have the Christchurch Art Gallery, so a place where we provide a space for residents and visitors to engage with art.
And then oddly, we've left probably the Christchurch's hottest topic until last. Transport is divided into two key services. So we've got roads and footpaths, which is really around maintenance. So it's looking after what we already have. And then you've got travel choice, which is about making it easier and safer. So those intersection improvements, footpaths, cycleways, all of those upgrade projects.
And we still have a couple more. We were saying 17 is the number to get through, but not to forget civil defence and emergency management. So we do, as part of our city, have a responsibility to ensure we are prepared for and can respond to emergencies and also recover from them. So that's something we cover. And I think now, last but not least, yeah, we have a couple more, waste and recycling. Everyone hopefully knows their wheelie bins and when to take those out, but also looking at what will happen to the waste as we take it away from your households.
Enabling development, yeah. So that's very much about our district plan. So setting out what the city is going to look like in 20, 50 years' time, where we're going to allow development, where we're going to encourage development and what type of development that might be. And that's it. That's our 17.
That's quite a list, but very clearly illustrated and explained. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so you've got your list. So what next?
Well, so it's all about people telling us what is important to them. Online, we've got a system where people get 100 points and they can divide that over the 17. They can allocate some points to all 17 if they like, try and do what council does, which is really balance the budget across all of our poor services. Or they might say, actually, there are some in here that perhaps are the sacrificial lamb for the times that we're in, and we're not going to allocate any points towards it. Or they might have a single project that they're just so passionate about that they really want that to be emphasised. You can put 100 points on just one if you really feel like it.
You know, it's really up to everyone out there to tell us what matters most to them by using those points and looking at those different core services. What is the must-have and what is the nice-to-have across
and that's,
those?
And that's not a bad thing to do as a person living in Christchurch or Banks Peninsula to think about where we're at. I think that's actually a very good reflective exercise.
Absolutely. And I know from talking to people who have gone online and had a look at those core services that they do. They understand the challenge. They do see that all of these, in an ideal world, would have ample funding and the city would thrive. But we're just not in that position at the moment, and people can see the tough decisions that we have ahead of us.
Okay, so you're there in front of either your device, your laptop or your phone or your PC, and you want to get involved in this. So where take me through the process.
Yes.
Where do you go?
So
where does it start?
First of all, you go to ccc.govt.nz/whatmattersmost.
What matters most. That's, and you could key search that in the search bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what matters most is the key phrase that we all need to remember.
That's right.
Yeah, if you get really lost, just go to the council website and there's an icon right there on the front page that you can just click on and go straight there.
Actually, it's a cute little picture, isn't it? A little illustration.
Yeah, which
it
people.
Is, yeah.
Bit of a shout out to our design team. They've done a lovely job of trying to capture conversations between people who maybe don't come from the same background, have a different view on life, and that's really what we're trying to do here. It's a conversation. We don't all have to agree. It's your opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion. Share it with us. We're interested to find out.
There's no wrong answer.
Absolutely.
No. Once you've found the page, it's fairly self-explanatory. The first activity to start out with is the What Matters Most to You activity. And so those 17 core services that we just went through and explained are outlined there quite clearly with different cards. They have a picture that describes what we're talking about. Just have a headline. If you want to find out a little bit more on each card, you can actually click the Read More button to get even more information than what we were able to cover here just now.
Right, so if you've got something like roads and footpaths, you can find out, well, what exactly does that
exactly.
mean and what does it encompass?
Yeah. And then you have different ways of using this tool. So at the bottom of each core service is a sliding scale, which you can just click and slide up or down, and it will show you how many points you are using.
So you'd basically be holding your mouse left click, or left for me, but right-handed for other right-handed people, and sliding that sliding bar across.
Or if the slider is a bit tricky, there's also another option to just click and move the points up and down with 1 point at a time. And so it's quite helpful to do it online because it saves you doing the math yourself. Because it will tell you when you've run out of points. And I know when we tried that, also the feedback we heard from people is, oh, we're going through there. We've run out of 100 points quite quickly. So it does take a little time. But we encourage you to, you know, have a look through all the different core services first and then make your choice on the different points.
You've pointed out that you can go back and make a change.
That's right.
So it's very easy.
So enough. If I selected 100 points for one category, then a little window pops up and tells me I've exceeded those points, and I can just go back and make adjustments. And once you've done all the allocations and are happy with how you distributed your different points, we're just asking a few questions of paper because we just want to have an understanding who it is we are hearing from, also to be able to keep people in touch and to let, importantly, our decision makers, the councillors, know who we've heard from so they can make a really good informed decision taking into account what we heard, what they heard from the community. So there's a few questions we need you to let us know. There's a few other that we'd be interested in if people are comfortable sharing that with us. So gender, age and ethnicity. And that just really helps us to get an understanding who we are actually hearing from. Because if we are not hearing from certain people and certain groups, then we know we can focus on that and see what else we can do. And a lot of this campaign, the other things that we'll hopefully talk about soon, is about us looking at different ways.
It's a type of efficiency, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would really help us. But essentially, you just provide a little bit of information and then hit submit and it's with us.
So no writing required.
Isn't that fabulous?
Mm. We know how intimidating that can be for a lot of people and off-putting. So it was really about keeping it as simple as possible.
Yes, and we have so many different communities and diverse communities with English as a second language. If you can do the visual thing, that must help so much.
Yeah, it does help a lot of paper. That said, though, we do have now with this platform the opportunity to translate our platform, auto-translate our platform using a combination of different services. So it's Google Translate, Amazon Translate, and Localize combined. So it's a software that sits in the back end and that does the translation of the entire page for us. And so we've got 10 different languages available that people can choose from.
And what are they, Swantje?
So Site from English, which is the main landing page, Te Reo Māori, Simplified Chinese, Tagalog, Filipino, Arabic, Spanish, French, Hindi, Japanese, Korean, and Samoan.
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah.
The nice thing as well is it's a bit of software that we can edit if we need to. So if anyone finds anything that doesn't translate particularly well, please let us know. We are improving as we go and we can make those changes.
Is there anything else that people might need to know about this process?
Yeah, there's another couple of features on the page there. So obviously what matters most is our main activity that we would like people to take part in, but there's also quick polls. We're changing those out every week. We're trying to respond to a little bit to what we're hearing and tease out some of the finer details. So a quick poll is just maybe there's two or three multi-choice answers that respond to a question and you can just click which one is most close to your view. And that's just a really nice, easy way to provide quick feedback. We've got Les Korero, which is a discussion forum. So we'll introduce some topics and then just let people go crazy having a bit of a chat online. You can like what other people say. You can reply to it. We've also got some question and answers section as well for anyone who wants a little bit more detail.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So nobody can really complain that they haven't got an opportunity to have their say.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Necessarily meant to agree with me, but that's what I'm getting from this.
I mean, we've tried our very best. And the other great thing about this platform is that we're really trying to build a bit of an online community as well. So you can follow our page and stay involved in this conversation because we're very much at the start of the conversation about the next long-term plan. We've already had this out in the market for a couple of weeks. It will be until the 13th of August that people are able to provide feedback on the different tools that we have described now. And then we'll take some time to go through that feedback, provide that back to our decision makers, the counsellors, who can then weigh that up against the technical advice that they're getting from staff and other considerations. But then we're very much wanting to keep the community in the conversation. So we'll be hopefully back online, possibly on air, to tell everyone what we've heard, what that has meant and how that's
how that's influenced the draft.
Yeah,
long-term plan.
To draft the long-term plan, which will then go out for consultation in March next year.
And I think it's also worth saying we're not just online. We know a lot of the community aren't online. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable providing feedback online, particularly our younger audience. We don't traditionally hear from them through our online channels, but we have been out and about at a wide range of community events and meetings and forums. And it's fair to say I've been doing this work for council for 10 years now. And the setup that we've got face-to-face, I've never seen people quite so excited to provide feedback to council. We've got people queuing to provide feedback. So if we could talk a little bit more about that opportunity, that would be brilliant.
That's right. So we've replicated what we have online, but try to make it a little bit simpler. So we're having a little voting station, essentially, that we're taking around the city. So Tessa already mentioned we're going to different events. So we've been to a few of the community markets already. We'll be at a few more this weekend and then the coming weekend. So, for instance, Phillipstown Vegan Night Market or Mount Pleasant Community Market. And we're essentially rotating around the city. The same toolkit is in our libraries and service centres as well. And all these different services that we just talked about and described and you can find online, we have set up there as a voting station with little coin boxes. And then we'll give everyone 5 tokens. So it's a bit harder.
We're mean.
You don't have 100 points. So you can't quite do the same more in-depth balancing with the 100 points, but you've got to be able to make just a really quick choice and tell us. Again, we don't stipulate how to use the 5 tokens. They can go all to one core service or you spread them across your top 5, whatever. And that's worked really well. And some of the feedback we had was that it's just so incredibly simple. And it's really appreciated that we are going where the community is rather than waiting for them to come to us. So, yeah, just trying different ways.
I think what's really cool is when we initially said 5 tokens, we were trying to keep it simple. You know, in a busy space, people don't have time to distribute 100 tokens, and our staff in libraries and service centres, it would be unreasonable to expect them to be managing all of these tokens flying around. So we thought, okay, we'll go with 5. But it's actually given us a real opportunity to have some brilliant conversations with people going about their everyday business, because they have their 5 tokens and they're looking at these 17 core services that probably all of them to some degree matter to them, and they're having to think about, where am I going to put my 5? And they start this really lovely conversation about how challenging it is, and weighing up the stuff that makes Christchurch a great place to live versus clean drinking water and being able to flush your toilet. So these are, you know, this is a real challenge that council is facing, and people, you can see that, you know, the dawn of realisation that, yeah, it is a tricky job and there is a lot to do and there's only a finite amount of resources. So we're having some beautiful conversations with people that we don't normally talk to. Because of the token system, everyone totally understands what's required. There's no explanation needed about what they have to do. You know, you Z Garage with the charity vote. So people are familiar with the process. Kids love it. They can do it. I would say at some of our community events, we're hitting almost, you know, 30-40% children coming and voting. And that's just brilliant. If you think about where the city is and how we need to think about the future, having that youth voice has never been more important.
It sounds amazing. I mean, I'd love to be a fly on the wall with a microphone just hearing these conversations going on too, actually. Yeah. Is there anything else that you think people need to know at this stage? I mean, I'm thinking about maybe the process and the timeline.
Yeah. So as Funcha mentioned earlier, at the moment we're out in the market until the 13th of August. We'll be gathering this feedback. Then what we'll do is we'll analyse it and present it to the council. Now, what we'll do is we'll take what we've heard online, which is people have provided contact. You know, it's probably a more scientific process that we've run through online, but we'll also provide what we've heard out there in the public face-to-face with those 5 tokens, because that adds probably a bit more breadth to the feedback. And then the technical staff throughout this time frame will be presenting to council on that more technical information about all of our infrastructure, the services we provide, what shape they're in, what work needs to be done over the next 10 years. The council then have that challenge where they'll need to weigh up both what they've heard from a technical perspective and what they've heard from the community when it comes to drafting what that long-term plan is going to look like. They normally do that just ahead of Christmas, and then we start gearing up for the public consultation in March. What we would love to do as part of this piece is not only go back to people ahead of Christmas saying, here's what we heard and here's how it's influenced the draft, but also starting to warm them up to how can you take part in consultation. There might be some people who previously would never do an official submission, but having put their token in a box or clicked their points, they might feel more compelled to, and we want to be able to aid them in that as much as possible and get as many people as we can having a voice.
Wow, what an amazing campaign, What Matters Most. And the work you're doing is so key to our future in this city. And people, just get involved. Go to the website, Swantje, once again.
ccc.govt.nz/whatmattersmost.
And please share this conversation. Tell people about it, that it's possible to have a listen to the ins and outs and the real detail about it and how easy it is. Share it with your family and friends, and let's keep the conversations going. You've been listening to Tessa and Swantje from the Christchurch City Council, and we've been talking about What Matters Most and the online tool you can use to have your say about what's important for you in our city for the long-term plan. And you need to do that before August the 13th. I thought it would be nice to end with some music kind of aligned to our conversation. So this is Sarah Bareilles with brave. Ka kite.
To a Plains FM featured interview, keeping you in touch with what's happening in our Canterbury community.